WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming ABC on the News Civic Media Perez. App.
Attorneys for Donald Trump expected to meet early next week with the Fulton County, Georgia District Attorney's Office to negotiate terms of the bond package for the former president following his indictment last Monday. The meeting is expected to occur prior to any surrender by Trump at the Fulton County Jail. Trump and his alleged co-conspirators have 1 week from today to turn themselves in. Maui's Island Emergency Services Chief has stepped down amid intense criticism of his not ordering the sounding of sirens as wildfire approached. The fire's death toll now at least 111 people. President Biden's trilateral summit with the leaders of Japan and South Korea are beginning to get underway at Camp David, where National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan said,
"We are going to lay a strong foundation for this trilateral partnership to make sure that it's deep, it is strong, and that it's built to last."
The first such summit held at the presidential retreat since 2015. This is ABC News. Ukraine and Romania today signed an agreement to export Ukrainian grain through Romania. The move would avoid the Black Sea, where Russia's military has been targeting Ukraine's grain shipments. 8 years after communities in the South began removing Confederate monuments, debate goes on about their Civil War legacies.
Missouri never left the Union, but the topic of Civil War monuments still divides towns like Liberty near Kansas City.
"You're a Confederate coward."
Where Mayor Greg Knutson has been squaring off over a Confederate statue in a local cemetery.
"Let me tell you something, buddy.
You're going to address me as Mr. Mayor. You're going to get out of this. Get out of here."
Elsewhere, some southern state legislatures have passed laws protecting Confederate symbols from being taken down from public spaces. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
A jury in England today convicted a neonatal nurse accused of killing 7 infants. Prosecutors said Lucy Letby tampered with the children's feeding and breathing tubes. Letby has denied the charges. Alex Perez, ABC News.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, big Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
"I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back."
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold, 1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003. 125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football. You're about to find out. Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown. Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW and on the Civic Media app.
It's 12:03. Good afternoon. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. About 44,000 people in Wisconsin are losing Medicaid coverage, and another 44,000 are keeping it. That's according to the State Department of Health Services. The 44,000 who lost coverage either didn't apply or applied and were found ineligible. The statistics are from the latest round of a renewal process that will happen over the next year. Medicaid renewal applications are back on after being paused during the COVID-19 pandemic. More than 97,000 people applied to be renewed, and more than 8,000 applications are still in the works. Governor Evers will lead a trade mission to Europe next month. Nate Wegehout has more.
Evers will be joined by Secretary and CEO of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, Missy Hughes, alongside 10 Wisconsin companies. The trip will also feature a showcase on the state's expertise in advanced manufacturing, biotech, food manufacturing, energy, and water technology industries. Evers will make stops in Brussels, Amsterdam, and Luxembourg. Last year, Belgium was the 8th biggest receiver of Wisconsin exports, while the Netherlands were the 10th biggest. Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
More people in Wisconsin are working than ever before, 3.7 million people, according to the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development. Wisconsin added 6,800 new jobs last month. Wisconsin's jobless rate is 2.6%. The Republicans running for president will debate in Wisconsin next week. Before that, they're subject to the straw poll at the Iowa State Fair this weekend. Paul Pate is Iowa's Secretary of State.
We've got a significant responsibility of helping with this job interview for candidates running for president, and we need to take that role seriously, and we need to make sure we're asking the tough questions of candidates, giving the rest of the country a chance to see and hear how they answer it.
Pate says the fair is one of the few chances that so many voters get the chance to ask candidates direct questions and get straight answers.
You get much more access than you might if it was just a retail campaign where they bought a bunch of radio, TV, and newsprint ads and bombarded you just direct mail. That's all one-sided, one way. This requires them to actually think on their feet.
The Milwaukee debate is next Wednesday night. The drought should cause fall colors to pop a little early in Wisconsin this year. Here's Brittany Merlot with the latest in her climate conversations.
Some trees are already starting to change color. It's because the trees are working so hard, they're using up all of their chlorophyll in the summer just to get by and stay alive. Once the leaves' chlorophyll is gone, fall colors arrive. Areas like the Northwoods and the southern Wisconsin River Valley that have had more of a drought expect those rustling leaves to turn their colors even quicker. However, it won't be the same with nature's fireworks at their brightest. Expect more of a dull dud. Severe drought during the growing season tends to cause trees to begin to turn color early and not last as long. It can even lead them to skip color altogether, browning and falling before fall even really gets started. The riot of colors that erupts on trees each fall drives billions of dollars in tourism and remains a key way for people to connect with nature. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
Federal officials are still looking into two crashes that happened at the EAA Air Venture Convention in Oshkosh. The National Transportation Safety Board says the plane that carried Devin Colley Riley and Zach Colley Moreno soared to about 4,000 feet before falling back to Earth. The other crash killed two men about 250 feet above ground. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know. The man police say was the ringleader of a cocaine distribution operation has been found guilty. Latif Strong of Milwaukee was convicted in Fond du Lac County on conspiracy to distribute over 40 grams of cocaine worth almost $10 million. That's a Class C felony. Strong was part of a group that included 14 other people who ran a distribution ring from Fond du Lac to Milwaukee and Chicago in 2018. Strong is the last of the group to be convicted. He is looking at up to 65 years in prison. Today at the Brown County Fair, people will be judgy, at least toward animals, particularly draft horses and goats. There will also be dairy judging, and the carnival opens today at 12 noon. Rodeo lovers will be happy as the PRCA event happens tonight at 7:30. And while you're getting your steps in, stop by and say hi to us at the Civic Media Truth Booth. Tell us your Wisconsin or Brown County story, and we just might use it on the air. The Brown County Fair runs through Sunday. There's never been a better time to keep your hands at 10 and 2 and be alert when driving. Civic Media's Melissa Kay reports.
The Drive Sober or Get Pulled Over campaign begins today across the state of Wisconsin. Law enforcement agencies are stepping up patrols in greater numbers, watching for impaired drivers. Every 2 hours in Wisconsin, impaired driving kills or injures someone. In 2022, 155 people were killed because of impaired driving. The Drive Sober or Get Pulled Over campaign runs through Labor Day, September 4th, with the initiative to get impaired drivers off the road and keep everyone safe. If you plan to celebrate, identify a sober driver.
The odds of you seeing a mink run through your yard have gone up. A mink farm was broken into Tuesday night in Trempealeau County in western Wisconsin. The Trempealeau County Sheriff's Office says someone broke into the farm after cutting a hole in the fence and freed 3,000 of the critters. Authorities say this is not the first time this has happened in the area and are asking the public to be aware and report any similar incidents immediately. Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
And now, your Wisconsin weather from Civic Media.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. The weekend is here, with barely any clouds in the sky today, as high temperatures will rise to the mid and upper 70s, with a few 80s by the Mississippi. Winds will still be a bit breezy out of the south, up to 15 miles per hour, ushering in some intense heat for the weekend. After cooling down tonight to the upper 50s and low 60s, expect upper 80s to low 90s to take over, first pushing into the western parts of the state tomorrow, and then by Sunday, dominating a majority of us. This will happen as a huge high-pressure system parks over the Great Lakes, keeps our skies sunny and pumps in the southern heat and humidity. Keep in mind, there is an air quality advisory in effect for the entire state through the weekend, as the wildfire smoke swings back now through Sunday. It is projected to spike into an unhealthy level, so be sure to limit your time outdoors. Have a fantastic Friday, Wisconsin. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
The Brewers get swept by the Dodgers. Good afternoon, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It was a pitcher's duel last night in L.A., and the Dodgers came out on top. 1-0 over the crew. The Dodgers have now won 11 in a row. On the mound, Lance Lynn against Corbin Burns for 7 scoreless innings. Then in the 8th, the Dodgers' Austin Barnes with a solo home run off of Milwaukee's Yoel Piamps. Brewers manager Craig Counsell.
We had a tough series. I don't think it means anything going forward. We had a tough series. We didn't score enough runs this series to win games. Lance Lynn pitched well, you know, and it was kind of a series again where, you know, we didn't create a lot of opportunities, and some of the ones we did, you know, we probably, you know, a little base running mistake, and Tyrone's tough play, but obviously we, you know, not scoring is a pretty tough way to win.
After the loss, Corbin Burns telling reporters if the Brewers ever hope to win a World Series, they have to win games like this one.
Yeah, obviously it was a tough series, but, you know, if we want to win the World Series, we're going to have to beat teams. So, yeah, I think we got the team to do it. We can score runs when we need to, and we can pitch and we play defense. So that's what it takes to win the World Series and get deep in the postseason.
Milwaukee still with a 2-game lead in the division. Open a weekend series tonight in Texas against another tough team, the Rangers. First pitch is at 7:05. NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks regular season schedule has been released. The season begins Thursday night, October 26th, at home against the 76ers. High school football kicked off last night across Wisconsin. More games on tap for tonight. NFL, at training camp in Green Bay, the joint practice between the Packers and the Patriots was interrupted 7 times by player fights. After a couple of the fights, head coach Bill Belichick called for a team huddle of the Patriots to lecture his players. Then on the very next play, New England defensive back Jalen Mills was exchanging punches with Packers running back Aaron Jones. I spoke to Jones at his locker.
Today was supposed to be thud, but how are you? You can't thud anybody from the back. And I was like cutting and I was on one leg, so I got pushed in the back. And go over there and like, hey, this is not what we're going to be doing. That wasn't a clean play. We're going to be playing clean football. We're going to be professionals. And let's keep it at that.
So you went for clarification, then he comes back and starts jacking.
I mean, I did give him a shove. I said that and just starts jacking and kept jacking the whole time.
Packers left guard Elgton Jenkins says when you set foot on an NFL field, anything can happen.
There is no consequences to the things going on, so you gotta have your head on the swivel. I won't say things got out of hand. It was a good practice. You know, everybody came out with effort, us and them as well, so those things happen.
The two teams face off tomorrow night in Lambeau Field for the second game of the preseason. Packers running back A.J. Dillon.
Football's a physical game. It's tough. Sometimes it's tough between the lines to kind of see what's what. My focus is on our guys. Our focus is on our guys, and in instances where our guys are getting pushed down or whatever, like, that's my entire focus. Say, hey, like, let's make sure we're good. Let's try to, you know, lock back in and recalibrate.
That's Packers running back A.J. Dillon. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times this afternoon, with highs around 76. Westerly winds, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 59. Tonight, mainly clear skies and quiet. Highs level off around 85. Tomorrow, mainly sunny skies. Mainly sunny skies, calm and dry. Sunday, clouds on the increase. By Monday, upper 80s. Sunday, upper 70s. By Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 75.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Welcome one, welcome all. Thanks for joining us today. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio where you are the star, you are the talent, and you will drive the talking points of the day. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. I'm William Walter, Policy Research Director and Lead Training Organizer with our Wisconsin Revolution, joined by a little empty today in the studio. We got Aaron joining me for Friday headlines. Aaron, how are you doing this Friday afternoon?
I'm doing well. I am, you know, like you said, a little empty. We're a little light. We're missing a Luke, but it's for a good reason, and I'm happy for him.
Shout out to Mr. Luke Mathers, who is getting married. We want to give nothing but love and support to Luke and Kelsey on their big day. And we understand why Luke is here, though. I do have to question his priorities, Aaron, because he's got a record on the line to defend. And it's Friday headline day. And, you know, I'm going to chalk this up to a forfeit. You know, I don't see him here. So let's mark one for old Willie right there.
You know, not a lot I can do as the ref to dispute that. Although I will say that he would probably say right now, well, you know, I was so far ahead that I thought I could just take a week off and it'd be fine.
All right. You know, fair point. I can picture him saying that word for word. So I'm not going to feel as bad about it as I felt a couple seconds ago. But seriously, congratulations to Luke and Kelsey. We're really excited for you. And we love having Fridays as No Papa Luke Party Day, because it's always a Friday on Town Call in the sense that we're having a good time, but especially on real Fridays, the best Wednesday of the week, when we get the opportunity to cover the very most Wisconsin headlines of the week. If you have an oh-so Wisconsin headline you'd like to share with us, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. Aaron, I'm going to let you go first, if you want me to go first, I'm more than happy to, but I'm also more than willing to defer to you today to hear what excellent headlines I'm sure you have dug up.
Sure, I can, I'll sub in for Luke today. How about that? Just so we can say that you didn't completely get it by forfeit, you know, because I'm sure that this week your headlines are most likely better than the ones I found. But I'll start with one that's kind of random.
I don't know about that, Aaron. You've been good. When you've been digging out headlines in the past, they have been excellent.
That may be true, but we'll see. Anyway, one random one comes out of your hometown, Germantown. This is from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. The headline is very clickbaity. She always stayed at this Germantown hotel. Then she found snakes in the pool and hallways.
Oh geez, I had a feeling that story was gonna come up. I didn't wanna note it, but that's yeah, good one, Aaron, good one. You want to dive into it, the piece, a little bit?
Sure, yeah. I mean, of course, I had to bring it up just because you are coming to us live from Germantown. But
fair.
The Country Inn and Suites by Radisson, a hotel in Germantown, hosted some unwelcome guests on Saturday. Michelle Grease said that she and several other hotel guests witnessed multiple snakes slithering in the hot tub, pool area, hallway, and other parts of the hotel on the night of Saturday, August 12th. Grease had planned to stay at the hotel that night with her 4-year-old son while they visited her boyfriend's mother. According to the Washington Ozaukee Public Health Department's report on the incident, the snakes ranged in size from up to a few feet long to less than a foot. The snakes are believed to be northern water snakes and had likely come from wetlands behind the hotel. And they go on to talk about how there are videos and quotes such as, "Sure enough, there was a snake in the hot tub." And, you know, not ideal to see multiple snakes in a hotel when you're planning on bringing your kid there.
Yeah, I'm a little torn on this one, Aaron, because I have spent some time at that hotel when my grandparents used to come to town. That's where they would stay, so we'd go swimming with them. And there is a large, large marsh quite literally right behind the hotel. So, yeah, I understand where the snakes are coming from and how that could happen. At the same time, they have to do a better job keeping them out of areas where children would be. Do I think this was probably blown out of proportion in the sense that why is the local Fox affiliate coming out to cover it? Yeah,
I agree.
That seems a little ridiculous, maybe even a lot ridiculous. But if I had a young child and I was taking them to go, you know, swim or sit in the hot tub or something, I most certainly would not want to see a small snake in that hot tub at the same time as us, because you never know. You never know if the child's going to freak out. You never know what might come of that. It's interesting, Aaron, and it's a good headline to launch us off with, because it is a bit random. I'm going to jump right into the meat and potatoes, reading over from a piece at WPR. Foxconn to sell Green Bay Eau Claire properties that once intended to bring hundreds of jobs. Officials say new developers for Foxconn properties will help the sites find new life. Surprise, surprise, Aaron. Foxconn, the great disaster of the Wisconsin economy, has once again essentially admitted that this was all a grift. This was all a scam from the very beginning. This was never going to bring jobs. This was never going to be the kind of massive economically seismic shift in the Wisconsin economy. Reading over from the piece, Foxconn Technology Group is looking to sell two properties that were once meant to become, quote, innovation centers, unquote, employing hundreds of people. After Foxconn announced plans to build a manufacturing facility in the village of Mount Pleasant, the company pledged to expand across the state with innovation centers in Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay, Eau Claire, and Racine. At the time, the company said each innovation center would employ between 100 and 200 people, with the Milwaukee Center employing around 500 people. But those plans were essentially put on hold in 2019. Now, Foxconn says it's turning its focus to the ongoing business activities in its Science and Technology Park in Mount Pleasant, rather than the innovation centers. The company's properties in Green Bay and Eau Claire have been listed for sale almost 5 years after the company paid nearly $12 million to purchase both. In a statement, Foxconn said selling its Green Bay property, known as the Watermark Building, will add to the vibrancy of the city's downtown. It did not comment on the Eau Claire listing, nor did the company provide information on its plans for other properties outside of Mount Pleasant. Are you surprised, Aaron?
I mean, no one could have seen this coming, especially after Mount Pleasant. They've done so much there. It's unreal.
Mm-hmm. Keep in mind, Aaron, that Foxconn said it says that they have invested over $1 billion in Wisconsin and created approximately 1,000 jobs, which is about 1/13th of the 13,000 jobs they initially promised. The company's contract with the state was scaled back by Governor Tony Evers after the famous 2017 napkin pack signed by former Governor Scott Walker would have given Foxconn nearly $3 billion in state tax credits. Ugh, what an absolute disaster. I have friends at the national level who still, I don't want to say joke or laugh at this, because they understand that regular Wisconsinites had nothing to do with it, and it really sucks for the vast majority of us. But it's so on brand, I think, for a lot of elected conservative officials to pull a stunt like this and then have nothing come to fruition.
Absolutely. And I am wondering, of that $1 billion invested, I wonder what portion of that went right into Scott Walker's pockets.
I don't want to sit here and speculate, Aaron, but I would assume, I guess it depends on your definition of a lot, because
right.
I'll say a lot, and I'll let the audience determine how much from a raw percentage point that may be. So that's my opening headline, is once again, Foxconn not delivering on the promises that Scott Walker's napkin had told the state of Wisconsin we would be getting. Back to you, Mr. Zommers.
All right. I've got one that has to do with the state fair. And
we love State Fair headlines here.
This one, maybe a little less so. So an exhibitor was removed from the Wisconsin State Fair after a cow was named after an old racial slur. That sure is interesting. I'm obviously not going to tell you what the slur is. The article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel does not say it. And so I went and looked it up and found out what it was. And to be fair, I have never heard this. So old is definitely accurate.
Mm-hmm. That's a good headline, Aaron. I had that one lined up as well. So I'll read over from the piece from a little bit written up by Drake Bentley. A cow at the Wisconsin State Fair named after an old racial slur for black people has led to the removal of the exhibitor from the fair. A man attending the fair posted a photo to social media of a sign displaying the cow's name, and it was noticed by Milwaukee community activist Vaughn Mays, who shared it with his thousands of followers. David Blake of Pewaukee told WISN he snapped the photo because he was, quote, taken aback by the slur. It's one of those words, one of those few words that should be totally off limits. I mean, there's a big one that we all know, and I think that's on the same level, he said. Disgusting and definitely not something people should be using, and shame on the state fair. I'd assume there'd be policies in place where they kind of look at the names and everything, why this was allowed to get through, unquote. In a statement, state fair spokesperson Tess Kirkson said, we do not tolerate or condone this behavior and took swift and deliberate action to rectify the situation. The animal has been removed from State Fair Park. The exhibitor who showed this animal was part of a junior show and is no longer at State Fair Park. Excellent headline pick, Aaron. This was something I was going to bring up too, because it is unfortunately very Wisconsin and in a bad way. And it actually plays off of, so I'll use a headline that reminded me of. This was going back into July, so not quite from the past week, but, you know, we're seeing these type of headlines coming up in Wisconsin left and right. Piece over at Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, do better people. TMJ4 reporter in Milwaukee called racist slur at Country Thunder. A TMJ4 reporter was left humiliated while reporting from Country Thunder's opening night in Twin Lakes Thursday after being yelled at and subjected to a racial slur. Taylor Lumpkin, a black multimedia journalist for WTMJ TV Channel 4 since 2020, tweeted out Thursday night that a guy ran up and yelled at me unprovoked, obviously called her the N-word twice. Nobody helped. Everyone stared at me and laughed. Do better, people, the tweet said. And Taylor is exactly right. Exactly right. That is so wholly inappropriate, entirely inappropriate. Frankly, it's disgusting. But as we're seeing from your Wisconsin State Fair headline, Wisconsin seems to have an issue with these type of behavior. I believe this was actually the night. Now, don't quote me on this because I'm not 100% certain, but I believe this was either the night or within a couple nights of Jason Aldean performing. And this was in the middle of his Try That in a Small Town release that, of course, blew up for about a week. Aldean was the Saturday headliner.
Yes.
And I actually, that video is something that I've covered kind of extensively outside of Town Call, because in a lot of ways it represents the driving culture war in the United States that has pitted the vast majority of the working class against each other for ridiculous and frankly pathetic reasons. It's come to be expected, though. It's incredibly disappointing. If you have an oh-so Wisconsin headline you'd like to share with us, we're going to jump into some more positive headlines. Give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning. And the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Alex Perez. At Camp David today, President Biden opened up the trilateral meeting with the President of South Korea and the Prime Minister of Japan.
I want to thank you both for your political courage that brought you here. And I'm looking forward to us having a great meeting.
The nations will discuss a strengthening security and economic ties amid North Korea's nuclear threats and China's provocations. Former President Trump's lawyers are now expected to meet early next week with the Fulton County, Georgia DA to negotiate bond terms before Trump turns himself in at the county jail, which he must do by a week from today. After the fires, the head of Maui's Emergency Management Agency, Herman Andaya, suddenly resigning, citing health reasons. This comes after he faced mounting questions regarding his decision not to sound the siren system. The race is on to evacuate the city of Yellowknife in Canada's Northwest Territories as a raging wildfire closes in.
This is ABC News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what Green Bay needs to know.
The man police say was the ringleader of a cocaine distribution operation has been found guilty. Lateef Strong of Milwaukee was convicted in Fond du Lac County on conspiracy to distribute over 40 grams of cocaine worth almost $10 million. That's a Class C felony. Strong was part of a group that included 14 other people who ran a distribution ring from Fond du Lac to Milwaukee and Chicago in 2018. Strong is the last of the group to be convicted. He is looking at up to 65 years in prison. Today at the Brown County Fair, people will be judgy, at least toward animals, particularly draft horses and goats. There will also be dairy judging, and the carnival opens today at 12 noon. And while you're getting your steps in, stop by and say hi to us at the Civic Media Truth Booth. Tell us your Wisconsin or Brown County story, and we just might use it on the air. The Brown County Fair runs through Sunday. Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
It's so hot. Wait. Now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need, only from the Civic Media Weather Team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
If you care about animals or crops, you probably care how the weather could impact both.
It's summer in Wisconsin, and the success of your efforts often depends on knowing the forecast. Count on your local Civic Media weather team for all the information you need.
Crops roots are also growing deeper in search for water, which is bad news because when rain finally falls, it will sit shallow and be absorbed in the top layers of the soil.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the app.
For a century, AM radio has evolved to meet the needs of our community. More than 80 million listeners depend on AM radio each month. It's also the backbone of the emergency alert system, keeping us safe in dangerous times. A new bill in Congress would ensure this free, reliable service remains in cars. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup. Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. It's Friday, and that means it's Wisconsin Headlines of the Week. If you have an oh-so Wisconsin headline you would like to share with us, give us a call or shoot us a text. It's back to my turn, Aaron, and this one's frankly hilarious. I've read through this story multiple times now, and I can't help but giggle throughout the entirety of the story. Reading over from a piece at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, written up by Daniel Bice, Supreme Court Justice Rebecca Bradley has been quietly editing her own Wikipedia page. You'd think members of the state Supreme Court would have too little time on their hands to worry about the contents of their Wikipedia pages, but conservative firebrand Rebecca Bradley isn't like most other Supreme Court justices. Essentially, a person with the Twitter handle Arizona Sunblock from the Tampa area noticed that Bradley, who has been on the high court since 2015, appeared to have been making major changes to her Wikipedia biography earlier this year, pointing out that there was an edit war going on Rebecca Bradley's Wikipedia page under an anonymous username that shares her personal email address, the username being RLGBJD, which could very well refer to Rebecca Lynn Grossel Bradley, JD, having received her law degree from the University of Wisconsin in 1996. And the tweeter from Tampa Bay was correct, as Rebecca Bradley told the Journal Sentinel in an email, "Liberal media has distorted my record since the beginning of my judicial career, and I refuse to let false accusations go unchecked. On my Wikipedia page, I added excerpts from actual opinions and removed dishonest information about my background." The piece then notes what was getting under her skin. Well, evidently, she really, really disliked the section in her Wikipedia page dealing with a Republican challenge to the stay-at-home order issued by the administration of Democratic Governor Tony Evers in response to the COVID-19 pandemic. According to her Wikipedia page, in May of 2020, Bradley, quote, compared the state's stay-at-home orders to the internment of Japanese Americans during World War II, unquote. And Bradley was not very happy about that. Of course, the reference got widespread media attention, and with her Wikipedia edits, Bradley dropped what she said during oral arguments and replaced it from a quote with from her concurring opinion that overturned the stay-at-home order. Holy moly, Luke, or holy moly, Aaron, excuse me. Would petty be the right word for this? Is embarrassing the right word? I'm not really sure. You are on the highest court in the state of Wisconsin. There's got to be better ways to be spending your time, right? Basically, 52 years old, like, come on.
I feel like maybe instead of going back and trying to pretend things didn't happen and spread disinformation and omit important parts of your history, you should say, yes, I said those things. I've realized since then that they were wrong, and I'm going to make a commitment to be better. And then that gets put on your Wikipedia page. In the same part where it says like controversy or whatever, right at the bottom it says, and then in 2023 mm-hmm. she said, I'm going to do better, and she did better. Instead, now we have a section that says in 2023, Rebecca Bradley edited her own Wikipedia page and was forced to stop. Like, the best part is that that's on there now.
It's the Streisand effect, right? You bring attention to it and you're just going to make it blow up. Evidently, she was even directed by Wikipedia's editing guidelines. And a Wikipedia editor scolded her for making these changes to her own page, noting that it could create a conflict of interest. But she's not the first. I will grant her that she is not the first. In July, New York Republican Rep. Mike Lawler had his personal account blocked on Wikipedia after making too many edits to his own page. In an email to the Journal Sentinel, Bradley said she had to make these changes because members of the media aren't doing their job.
Those jeez. Quotes are on jeez. Video. You can watch a video of her saying these things aloud. It's not fake news. The fake news is when you try and delete it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's, I think what's interesting as well, Aaron, is a lot of people who sit around and say, you know, Wikipedia is not a legitimate source or whatever. They then turn around and they're attempting to edit their own Wikipedia pages because evidently they do believe it's a serious or legitimate enough source that it's worth reading or worth seeking out. So they have to make sure it's accurate as to the way that I see the world, because otherwise it's not a legitimate source. Like, talking out of one side of their mouth and acting out of the other. It's hilarious. This is hilarious. And it's funny, Aaron, because there's actually a follow-up piece also from Daniel Bice at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel published, I want to say, a day later. So quite literally a day later, noting that dozens have reversed Supreme Court Justice Rebecca Bradley's edits to her own Wikipedia page. On Monday, the Journal Sentinel had reported that Bradley had been quietly editing the details of her personal page. Within hours of that story posting, dozens of Wikipedia users made numerous edits to her bio, reversing some of the changes and updating other information. There were so many changes, in fact, that Wikipedia has partially locked the page from further editing. Among other things, someone noticed that Bradley earlier this this year had deleted references to her homophobic writings while a student at Marquette University. These articles came to light during her 2016 Supreme Court race against State Appeals Court Judge Joanne Kloppenburg. And now some of her quotes are back on Bradley's Wikipedia page. That, again, absolutely hilarious, Aaron. The fact that she drew more attention to this issue allowed other people to come out and say, yo, wait a minute, not only are you trying to get rid of some of the unfavorable things, but some of the unfavorable things that haven't been included need to be added. So don't worry, Judge Justice Rebecca Bradley, we'll do that for you, as dozens came out to re-edit the Wikipedia page to make it wholly complete, let's say.
And then, yeah, like I said earlier, it has a brand new entry at the bottom about her 2023 Wikipedia editing controversy.
Mm-hmm. So I almost want to say this is what happens when you mess around, right? You find out. So
yeah,
someone took the time to mess around, and I guess her Wikipedia page is now finding out.
You play stupid games, you win stupid prizes.
Exactly. So that's a headline that I had to contribute, Aaron, because I'm giggling all the way to the bank. That is just too funny. So back to you, Mr. Zommers.
All right. So this one, I looked at it and it turns out it was published and updated on August 12th. So it's not actually from last weekend. So it shouldn't have been already covered. But if it is, oops.
You're the judge, Aaron. So we'll allow it, I guess.
I don't remember it, so it must not have happened. Anyway, another one from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. These 7 Wisconsin restaurants made Yelp's top 100 Midwest restaurants. And so it has, this just chooses a few from the list. It doesn't go over the whole thing, but to create its rankings, Yelp uses variables such as total ratings between January 1st of 2021 and May 1st of 2023. The Midwest list looked at restaurants in Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Kansas, Michigan, Minnesota, Missouri, Nebraska, North Dakota, Ohio, South Dakota, and Wisconsin, with ratings from customers. First of all, I did not know that Kansas and Nebraska were considered Midwest.
I mean, they're close, at least, right?
I guess I haven't been to either of those, so I just never really thought about that. But anyway, it starts at the highest rated, but I'm actually going to go the reverse order. So the lowest rated out of the top 100 Midwest restaurants in Wisconsin is number 95, the St. Paul Fish Company in Milwaukee.
Okay.
It has a fish fry menu with 6 different choices of fish served with fries and coleslaw, and it has a second location in Mequon. I have not been there. I don't know if you have.
I have been to the Mequon location. That's about 10 minutes away from my home.
Would you say it fits on the list?
I enjoyed my meal, certainly.
All right. Number 91 is Kin by Rice and Roll in Wauwatosa. And it is open for lunch and dinner from Tuesday through Sunday. And it's a sushi eatery with, quote, exactingly cut nigiri and precisely made maki rolls like nobody's business, unquote, according to former Journal Sentinel dining critic Carol Deptola. So a nice sushi place, also in the Milwaukee area. Unsurprisingly, I feel like most of these will probably be there. However, this one you're going to like. Number 87 is Old Germantown in Germantown.
Really?
Farm-to-table restaurant serving fresh sausage and pizzas.
Well, Aaron, I think you just told me where I'm going for dinner tonight, because I have never been. I will have to report back on that on Monday and let you know how it goes.
Well, they're open noon to 8:30 p.m., so make sure you have a dinner at a normal time. Not too late.
I think I can manage that for one night. For you, Aaron. I'll do it for you and for the listeners of Town Call.
Yeah, so you can share next week, and maybe you can leave a Yelp review and push it further up next time.
That'll be my Monday headline, right? When we're getting to the Friday news dump, my experience at Old Germantown.
Oh, we just got a text from a listener, Matt, who says, come to Old Germantown Sunday between 1 and 3 because he's going to be performing there.
Small world. Wow. All right. Looks like I'm going twice this week then, huh?
I guess so. Your new haunt in Germantown.
That's my place now. Ever since today, I've never been, but I'm declaring it now my new place. Great headline, Aaron. Good find. See, I told you, you're not giving yourself enough credit. When you put the mind to it and you hit the grind, you've been hitting up some good headlines. Not enough to win, obviously, but right. I'm not saying that because it wasn't good enough to win. I'm saying that because Luke's not here and we can't just give him a win for not showing up. That's ridiculous. That's not how we do it here. So if you have an Oh-So Wisconsin headline you'd love to share with us today, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. I'm going to go with another little bit of a twofer here, Aaron, because these stories are, I guess, tangentially related, and you know we love our tangents over here. The first one, reading over from a piece at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, former Wisconsin basketball star turned radio host Ben Brust shows up to Packers training camp with an Aaron Rodgers Jets jersey. Shaking my head, Aaron. Shaking my head. I saw the video of this, actually. He went up to Matt LaFleur, asked for an autograph, and to LaFleur's credit, he signed the jersey. He was clearly not very happy about it. And I believe he even said something. Yeah, so when he turned to the former basketball player turned radio host, he was like, oh, geez, you know, don't be doing that. He walked out for practice and yelled, quote, according to Brust's co-host, nobody wants to see that, unquote. He was not happy.
Wow.
I also saw the video of Brust, you know, walking in front of the fans that were sitting there to watch practice, clearly trying to get trying to rustle their feathers, you know, trying to jokingly pump them up, draw attention to himself, and everybody pretty much ignored him, which was pretty funny. Now, in Brust's defense, he is a pretty well-known Wisconsin sports figure himself. He played for the Badgers from 2010 to 2014, started his final two seasons averaging 12.8 points per game his senior year, which was the year that the Badgers advanced to the Final Four. And when he left UW, he had the most three-pointers in Wisconsin history, now ranking fourth. He has worked at ESPN Milwaukee for the past several years and has served as the Milwaukee Bucks radio color analyst for home games in recent seasons. But this was, you know, an attention-drawing stunt. He was trying to, you know, get the fans and the coaches a little upset. But that's very Wisconsin, right? We got a couple of Wisconsin sports figures involved with Green Bay Packers training camp practices, and season's coming up fast. I am excited, Aaron. To parlay that into another football-related headline, we talked about it very briefly, I think, last Friday, but Mississippi Supreme Court won't remove Favre from lawsuit over misspent welfare money. Reading over from the AP, the Mississippi Supreme Court says it will not remove former NFL quarterback Brett Favre as a defendant in a civil lawsuit that seeks to recover millions of dollars in misspent welfare money meant to help some of the poorest people in the United States. A panel of three justices issued a brief ruling Wednesday denying an appeal from Favre. His attorneys said in written arguments in May that the Mississippi Department of Human Services is making utterly meritless legal arguments in suing the Pro Football Hall of Famer. But it seems the Mississippi Supreme Court does not agree with that assessment, as clearly the legal arguments are not without merit, or this would not have played out as such. So we got one humorous but maybe unnecessary Packers headline, and then Brett Favre embarrassing the Packers once again. So if you have a Wisconsin headline you'd love to share with us, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
One call, the Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin.
Or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
Do you ever get tired of one-sided conversations? Have you changed the station due to mean-spirited rhetoric? Wouldn't it be refreshing to listen and engage in civilized dialogue about politics and how issues affect our families differently? Welcome to the Rational Revolution. I'm Chris Elfheim.
And I'm Emily Sefos. Together, we'll look at today's issues through a politically purple lens. So join us on Thursday evenings from 7 to 8 on WGBW, WISS, and the Civic Media app.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Your updated forecast, sunshine mixed with clouds at times this afternoon with highs around 76. Westerly winds, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 59. Tonight, mainly clear skies and quiet. Highs level off around 85. Tomorrow, mainly sunny skies. Mainly sunny skies, calm and dry. Sunday, clouds on the increase by Monday. Upper 80s, Sunday, upper 70s by Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 75.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. It's Friday, as Rebecca Black just told us, which means it is Wisconsin Headlines of the Week. If you have an oh-so Wisconsin headline you'd love to share with us, please give us a call or shoot us a text. And I took a bit of a twofer before the break there, Aaron, so it is now your turn, Mr. Zommers, please, with your next headline.
Yes, so I have here, once again from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, 1 in 10 school children are not up to date on vaccines in Wisconsin amid drop in childhood immunization rates. So this one I bring to us is a nice shout out to Ron Johnson, my favorite Wisconsin senator not named Tammy Baldwin. Unfortunately, I really regret that I have to give that title to him, but he's the only one.
By definition, he's also the worst Wisconsin senator not named Tammy Baldwin.
Well, also just the worst, correct? Wisconsin senator. He doesn't need the qualifier anymore.
Fair.
So, reading from the article, state health officials are urging parents and guardians to vaccinate their school-aged children against preventable diseases as the new school year gears up and as childhood vaccination rates continue to lag behind pre-pandemic levels. School immunization data from the past school year shows that about 90,000 K-12 students, or 10.1%, did not meet minimum immunization requirements for attending school or had no vaccination record on file, according to figures reported by public and private schools to the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. About half of those students had a waiver exempting them from having to get one or more vaccines, while others were behind schedule or in the process of getting them. And going on a bit later, some doctors, such as Dr. Stephanie Schauer, the Wisconsin Health Department's immunization program manager, believe that, quote, "We still have some ground to gain to get back to pre-pandemic levels, but I think we're starting to turn the corner." So that's good that there is some optimism, despite the fact that the reasons do have to do with schools being closed during the pandemic, so the requirements weren't there, and maybe parents didn't want to take their kids out to get vaccines. But the article does also mention the misinformation about vaccines and politicization of the pandemic response, fueling parents' skepticism of vaccines. So once again, shout out to my homeboy, Ron Johnson. Hopefully you don't kill those kids with the measles.
Yeah, and I think Ron has been kind of at the forefront of a lot of those conspiracy theories. We have I got a couple of actually Ron related stories at the national level, specifically talking about some of his antics over the past couple weeks. But that's going to need a little bit more time to cover, I think, because that is starting to do a deep dive into the psyche of Mr. Johnson. But great headline, Aaron. Back to my turn. This isn't so much a headline, but I think we all know this, and I wanted to put a little bit of numbers to the story, raw numbers to contextualize it a little bit. I saw a graphic from USA Today, and I don't know how recent it is, full disclosure, because it did not have the date, but the cities where Americans get the drunkest, top 10 cities with the highest percentage of adults who drink excessively. As I'm sure you can imagine, Aaron, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of the top 10 are cities in Wisconsin, with the top 4 all being Wisconsin. Green Bay at number 1, 26.5%, followed by Eau Claire, Appleton, and Madison. Then Fargo, North Dakota is 5th, Oshkosh 6th, Missoula, I apologize if I mispronounced that, Montana is 7, Grand Forks, North Dakota 8, Wausau 9, and La Crosse 10. Drink responsibly, Wisconsinites. You know, I know we're known for that, but boy, that is a lot of Wisconsin occupying the top 10 there.
Sometimes they shuffle around. Like Oshkosh has been higher up on the list before, but it's always a pretty solid 6 to 8.
Mm-hmm. And so the top was 26.5%. 10th was 23.8%, though 9th was 20.4%, now that I'm looking at it. So perhaps whoever put this graphic together did not fact check that themselves. Aaron, did you say that was your final headline?
Yes.
Okay. So I got one more that I can jump to. Well, actually, I got two more. So we'll count this one as an Aaron headline, because I think this is a bit of a positive one for you. Proposed bill would make Wisconsin state park passes good for an entire year. A newly proposed bill would allow state park passes to be valid for a full year, no matter when you buy them. Right now, a pass is only good for the calendar year. So whether you bought it in January or in August, it's only good until December 31st. A bill from Rep. Ron Tussler and Senator Robert Cowles would change that. Under their proposal, a state park's pass would be good for a full year based on month of sale. The bill would delay implementation until 2025 to ensure the State Department of Natural Resources has time to make the necessary IT changes and print new stickers signifying the month of sale. That's a good bill. I mean, give credit where credit is due. That makes a lot of sense. I don't understand why the state would not have already implemented that. The calendar year doesn't incentivize anyone to buy their passes in any other time other than January, but
yeah.
Okay. It is what it is. And then my final headline of the week, Aaron, Dane County acquires 625 acres near Verona for wildlife area. Dane County plans to acquire 625 acres near Verona to add to the Sugar River wildlife area, a move county and natural resources officials hope will support environmental conservation, increase recreation use, and shield land from development. Dane County Executive Joe Parisi stated, with this acquisition, the area will continue to grow as a regional destination for recreation and an amazing and important resource for natural habitat in the middle of our fast-growing county. Well done, Dane County. Excellent job. Keep up the great work. With that being said, Aaron, do I have a drum roll lined up?
The winner of this week's Best Wisconsin Headline is William Walter.
Yeah! I am fired up. I am honored, Aaron. I don't want to say it was a foregone conclusion, but I did picture myself winning this week. I did see that one coming a little bit ahead of time. Perhaps it's because Luke didn't have his priorities straight, and he's not here to defend himself on Friday Headlines of the Week. But I appreciate the W, and I am going to chalk that one up. Thank you for joining us today and every day throughout the week on Town Call. If you have a headline of the week to share with us, we'll be back next Friday with headlines. Don't hesitate to reach out. Give us a call or shoot us a text. If you want to participate at any other time, we always love to have your calls. 844-967-2789. Aaron, you got big plans for the weekend?
My youngest sister's 21st birthday is tomorrow, so that makes me feel a little bit old, but I'll be going home to celebrate that with her.
Oh, congratulations to Aaron's youngest sister then on your 21st. Don't let the Republican Party know that, or they might not let you vote anymore. This has been Town Call. We're looking forward to getting the forum going again on Monday. Hope you all have a wonderful weekend. Take it easy, party people.
We will see you back here on Monday.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.